Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
MB43 is 47 today. Martin Gaston Biron. Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you very much. Yes. And I was, my phone was buzzing this morning, text messages, phone calls, everything. But funny enough, I went to the grocery store last night, as I am pretty much every day, always making a trip to the grocery store, always to the grocery store. I'm checking out. And then this lady, she saw me walking by. I'm in like a grungy, like dirty t-shirts and flip-flops or whatever. I'd done some yard work and everything. She goes, "Hey, happy birthday." I'm like, "Oh, thank you." She goes, "They put in the Buffalo News today, so just that tomorrow was your birthday." So I'm like, "Well, they got me out a day early, but I like it." So I got some great interaction with people already yesterday and today.
I was hoping that you were getting carded at the grocery store, and B, that someone had listened and found out that you could have been born yesterday.
Yeah.
And that it's still up for debate whether you are a 14th or a 15th baby, but legal documents suggest the latter, which is why we're celebrating today.
I know, when I was thinking about that, and in hockey situations, those type of birth that happen very late.
We're rolling. This is your life.
I know. This is the on MSG. We got the pictures and slides and whatever. But you know, like September 15th is the cutoff for players to get drafted. Or if you're late birthday, like imagine, like I would have been born on the 15th, but maybe technically could I have been born on the 14th or January 1, December 31st, like the birth year for sports or whatever. That could have been a situation, but no, look at all these graphics that we did over the years. Man, like there's some good pictures in
our buddy Ben in Nashville took great advantage of that previous one. It was shot around the same time and turned it into the what was it, Full House meme or something?
Was it the Full House meme? Yeah, that's what it was. But
yeah, how about starring Marty
the pictures
Baron
we're showing right now? That's during our MT Arena COVID year, where you and I had basically a piece of glass splitting us in the middle, so we couldn't even high
five. Date night in Vegas.
Oh yeah,
and Henderson.
Henderson, we got to see the Henderson Knights and
first show with Sabres Live as the rebrand in Montreal.
Montreal.
This was our airport night on the way back from Raleigh, where we got stuck. We had three monitors going watching hockey. It was amazing.
We had every screen going, but it was a very expensive meal at the airport.
And way too many anchovies in the Caesar salad. Oh.
Yeah, we've had some good times here over the last few years. I don't know what I'm doing here, pretending to work, I think, looking over the rundown. But yeah, so there's some good memories, some good stuff. Oh, in Vegas, outside of New York, New York. Mm-hmm. That's a good one right there as well. So this is a great collage. I feel like I'm being honored or something. But
you're very animated. You like making faces, and it's hilarious. So
I got to do a cameo yesterday. It was kind of funny because a couple of people's birthday were around mine, so it's kind of fun. But the one guy, his birthday was the day before, Nick, and in the description it said, We hear that you like to talk a lot and you have the gift of gab. Well, Nick does as well. So I did like a 5-minute cameo for Nick because I just wanted to keep on rambling. So it was great.
Well, that ties in with the reaction we get on X today, which is people wanting to talk about you. And PMoney59 says, met Marty at a barbecue place probably about 5 years ago before COVID. He was the nicest, most talkative pro athlete I've ever spoken to. Talked hockey that season, but his wife was waiting for the food and Marty definitely needed to get back to the car.
Let's go get the food. Let's go. Joe Yurden just put a fantastic one. He says, happy birthday, Marty. A t-shirt gun salute to you today. We all know my Jennifer Hedger t-shirt gun incident at TSN years ago. That was at trade deadline. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so you put a nice video, a nice gif of, it looks like it would be a bulldog. So I don't know what university that is, but it's an automatic t-shirt gun that just spins around like a
bulldog's kind of like the Gladiator. CFL's Rough Riders from years gone by. It can belong to an awful lot of schools.
Yeah. So. Is it the Rough Riders or Rough Riders? Like, exactly. I don't know which ones.
John, simply put, he's smart, self-deprecating, and was one hell of a goaltender, which is actually what I wanted to lead into here. Like, the beauty is, you are the definition of a personality when it comes to the medium that we are on every day. Mediums. And yet, statistically speaking, for those who don't know of Marty's career of more than 500 games in the NHL, 78th all-time in wins in NHL history. But when you narrow it down a little further, which we love to do, among goaltenders who were able to play 500 or more games in the NHL, 30th in goals against average, 2.61, 27th all-time in save percentage among goalies who played 500 or more at 910. And then what matters most here on Sabres Live, not Atlanta head-to-head. I did not do that
not
one.
Not Atlanta, not New Jersey, not Pittsburgh. Thank you.
What's the calendar date where everybody in Sabre history has a shutout?
Oh, I have it written down somewhere. But yes, it was November 18th, maybe, or something like that.
Well, Marty appeared in 300 games in blue and gold and black and red. That's fourth most among Sabre netminders. He has 134 wins, fourth most in Sabre's history, 18 shutouts, third most, 71 penalty minutes, third most, and 2.53 goals against, second best only to Dominic Hasek in franchise history. So, little tip of the cap, tip of my Amherst cap to an Amherst Hall of Famer as well. And that's eliciting even more balloons. So thank you again.
Well, I appreciate the rundown. I am actually looking for like goalies that have played over. This is so funny. Goalies that have played over 500 games. Where do I rank in penalty minutes in these guys? And I actually ranked pretty far down. I'm 39th with 81 penalty minutes. I thought I had more than that. Mm-hmm. You know how many penalty minutes Ron Ekstall has? He's number one.
Yeah, I looked this up a while ago. I want to say it was over 500.
It's 569. He's played in 608 games, 588 starts, and he's basically a minute a game guy in penalty minutes as a goaltender.
This is why Shayna wants goalies to serve their penalties. Imagine how much time we would have seen Hextall sitting in the box. He would have been banging the glass the entire time, freaking out at the officials, stick wielded up high. Oh my gosh.
Well, not only that, so Ron Ekstall's number one. Billy Smith, obviously, number two in that list. Tom Barrasso, number three.
Yes.
Ed Belfour, number four. Mm-hmm. Sean Burke. So it's funny because you get like the angry guys, like Ekstall, Smith, Barrasso, Belfour. They're all angry. And then the nicest of man, Sean Burke, is number five, but he was tough.
He was pretty temperamental as a goalie.
Yes, but a nice person. But Van Beesbrouck, Vernon, Beaupre, obviously, you play a lot of games. These guys have played 600, 700, 800 games, they're going to get a lot more penalty minutes. So that's the one I 81 penalty minutes. I'm proud of that.
Cross Swords podcast suggests that their favorite Marty moment was a save on a 3-on-0 in crunch time to start the season 14-1-1.
Well, they actually put the video on there. We were down 4-3 in the third period in Philly. Mm-hmm. And there's 6 minutes left, and I made the save, and then we ended up coming back and winning. Like, if we go down 5-3 on a 3-on-0, and it was people always are like, Marty, you were such a great goalie. I appreciate the thought, but no, go back and watch old clips and compare me to goalies now. You're like, what were you doing? Like, you're flopping, you're laying down, you're doing, like, this was a 3-on-0 where it should have been a goal 99.99999% of the time. I don't know what I was doing, but I ended up making the save. And then I made the save. I caught the puck, and I chased out. I skated out trying to keep the play alive, almost gave it up, and it almost came back, and then we settled things down. Like, it just overexcitement. And the clips that your guys are showing right now on MSG, the studio crew is doing an awesome job. That is my first NHL win against the Dallas Stars in the 98-99 season. I got called up from Rochester.
Nice stickers on your mask there.
Yeah, I know. I got my gear is actually, I had dark blue and blue and red gloves and black and red pads. I was mismatching. It was awful gear. Looked like I'm 120 pounds because the chest and arm was so small. But beat the Dallas Stars that game. And then there was a storm in Buffalo. My buddies were stuck at the Williamsville Marriott for an extra day. So we had a good time in that hotel room for an extra night because we got stuck in.
How much do you think you weighed in the video that we're showing that you're saying is from 98-99?
Yes, it is from 98-99. I do have the...
Oh my gosh, look at how young Pekka was. Wow.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. I have that frame. My brother-in-law, sister-in-law got me a frame, engraved frame, and a picture in it of me celebrating the win. Like somebody took a picture and then they got it. But that was the...
But I'm guessing you'd roughly know like how light you were when you started and what you were.
I probably was about 170, 165 to 170 pounds was always like my weight until I would say like probably the last 4 or 5 years of my career, like after I turned 30, then I got to be about 180 to 185. Uh-huh. But before that, it was 165 to 170 at the most.
And did your height fluctuate like Tage Thompson's?
No, I do have a hockey card that says I'm 6'3", 220, which was never the case, like not even close to that. So I was always about 6'2". And then when Ryan Miller came about, Ryan Miller was listed at 6'2", but he was about a quarter of an inch to a half inch taller than me. And I was like, well, how the heck am I 6'2" and you're 6'2"? So then some publications started to say I was 6'1" because it didn't make sense that Miller was almost a full inch taller, but he was listed at 6'2".
Now, why do you think most people still say you're a lot taller than I thought?
Hey, I got that at the Seneca Niagara Casino on Saturday night. I went out to an event for a slot machine tournament, which was awesome, by the way. I didn't even talk about it on Tuesday when I came back. It was probably one of the best of the weekend. It was so much fun. But so many people coming up. All right, you're a lot taller than I thought. And, you know, I'm standing in there with my jersey or whatever. We had Daryl Telly was there, a couple of Bandits alumni. It was so much fun. But, yeah. And so I start laughing.
This part of a buildup to the Jim Kelly tournament?
It was not, but they used it. It was just a Seneca Niagara event.
Okay. Yeah.
I did see Ashley from the Jim Kelly Foundation, and she's like, why are you not at the tournament Monday? She was laughing because I do the tournament every year, but I was visiting Jacob at West Point and wasn't.
Remember who you had as a cameo last year from the tournament? Dennis Gilbert, now Sabre.
Dennis Gilbert, that's right. He was at the tournament. That's when I brought the stand and the phone out on the court last year.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of fun. But so that event was great. Daryl Talley was there. Was a fun event. But yeah, so people are like, oh, you're a lot taller than I thought. And I said, well, I don't want to like ruin it for you guys, but we're going to have a few changes on the set this year. And, you know, you may actually now see how tall I am in real life because I'm not going to be sitting at the chair anymore.
Just remember, well, A, we don't know that to be true. B, everybody behind a desk has a step stool, which usually evens the playing field. So I don't think people are going to know any different by the time
this... I think we'll make it work. We'll make it work. It's all for Razor because Razor's chair kept like dropping. So we're trying to make Razor feel better.
Well, did you get any nice surprises from your kids today?
Yes and no. So usually what we do here in our house is that the birthday, you know, guest or whatnot is getting breakfast in bed. But then I said, no, I don't want you guys to bring me breakfast. I want to come up and I'm going to make breakfast because I love doing that. Mm-hmm. And I love making crepes. And when we say crepes, we're not talking about like flapjacks and pancakes or whatever. It's the thin crepes, right? The French crepes or whatnot. So I probably had about four of those this morning with maple syrup and butter and,
fruit.
I didn't put fruit on mine, but they had the Nutella and the raspberry going, whatever. So, yes. Yeah. So I got to get up a little later and then fire up the crepe batter and everything, which is so easy to do. Like, people are like, oh, crepes are so hard. They're so easy to do. It's just mixing a few things, blend it, and let's go. Mm-hmm. You got to have the touch, but it's good.
I don't doubt that you would have the touch for that. It does have a French heritage to it.
Yeah, and you put a little whipped cream on the side and decorate it all. It's fantastic. That was something we did very, very often, and it was common. Like, even on school days, you'd get up in the morning and maybe the batter was done the night before, and then all you had to do is put it in a pan and very thin coat, and then you let it, you flip it over, throw it in the air if you want to. You need a little skill for that. I didn't do it this morning because I didn't want to have to clean up the kitchen if I was going to mess it all up. So I didn't do that. I used a spatula. But no, it's like that's what we're doing. And then obviously we've got a few other things going on the rest of the day, and we're gonna enjoy it. So,
and a big weekend ahead. And I think Jenny is stealing my script. She says, love Marty. That goes without saying, right? I got to meet him at one of the alumni events on a game night at the arena. He was so excited when he saw mine was a Baron jersey to be signed. He was has such enthusiasm and passion for everything he does. I just adore him. Thank you, Jenny. That's very well said. I've delayed 16 minutes here. Fawned over you for 16 minutes. Our crew has delivered content all about you for 16 minutes. Do you want to get to the team of the day?
We can get to the team of the day. Yesterday I was all like, okay, I'm going to do my homework for the team of the day yesterday, because I'm like in the morning and I started looking at some articles and reading I actually shared it with the group, the NHL Edge. I love NHL Edge because it has great stats that I love to use, but you have to use them in the right context. And I read this whole article about NHL Edge on the Minnesota Wild and the whole thing. And I was like, man, there was really not a lot there. Like, it's just, this guy skated 3 miles a game or whatever. I'm like, oh, we don't like using those. But anyway, I did my homework on the Wild, which was, let's just put it, it was just okay. I mean, It's not the most exciting team in the league, but it's a team that could bounce back if things come around.
Yeah, how I described yesterday's team of the day, and that was, they're good. The LA Kings are a good team.
Yes.
Based on last year, Minnesota was not as good, and I don't know at full strength, so to speak, whether they will be better than LA, will they be a playoff team once again? Like, think about the history of the Minnesota Wild. They came out with a coach,
yes,
and a game plan and a conference finals appearance in their third year in the NHL. After that, they made it two of the next 8 years, but they were okay. They were respectable, but they were just having a tough time. And then since then, they've made the playoffs 10 of the last 12 years. However, last year was one of the misses. And in that stretch, they've only got to the second round twice.
Yes.
And that's the thing. I mean,
it's hard. Listen, it's hard.
It is hard. And really think of all the winners from the West in this period of time we're talking about, the Chicago's and the LA's and now the Colorado's and the Vegas. And
Vegas and Edmonton. So, and yeah, you've got a lot.
It is a lot. And there's a lot in my mind to be said for consistency and respectability. Others focus on and often say, oh, the worst thing you can do is be stuck in the middle. And I wonder if Minnesota has kind of fallen into that range and now maybe even lower middle, which could be even harder to get out of. Now, mind you, they have one huge pot of gold waiting for them a year from now.
That's additions by subtraction right there.
Well, they get $15 million in cap space next year because they finally get out from under the Suter and Parisi buyouts.
Well, they still have to buy out, but the cap recapture is not the same. So they're going to be spending, what is a million on the buyout as opposed to 15? Yeah, 800 and some thousand as opposed to 15 and a half million, which it's what Bill Guerin had to kind of No, it was coming. They made the decision. He made the decision to buy him out. They had to deal with it. But they were respectable in the fact that they were able to be competitive and find their way a little bit. But they were sixth in the Central last year and 20th overall.
Missed the playoffs by 11 points.
By 11 points. That's a lot. Now, the number one thing with the Minnesota Wild is for years, everybody thought the Wild are a great defensive team. Great defensive team. Great defensive team. That was because Jacques Lemaire. Even when the Wild were one of the highest scoring teams in the National Hockey League, people were surprised to know, oh, the Wild can score goals. Ryan Hartman has 34 goals. Marcus Foligno has 23. Kirill Kaprizov at 47. Like, it was, they can score. Now, everybody pretty much other than Kaprizov dropped off a little bit last year. Like, you know, you go Hartman at 34 2 years ago, 21 last year. Foligno only had 10 last year. Marcus Johansson, not the same production. There's been a bit of a drop-off. Does that mean it's going to stay where it is now? No, they can come back to life. They got a pretty good lineup. But the narrative has changed from the Wild are a good defensive team to the Wild are not a good defensive team right now. Penalty kill was 30th. Goals against was 20th in the league. Like Fleury, who knows? Gustafsson didn't have a great year. Is it Jesper Wallstedt's time? Well, doesn't seem like it this year. I feel like there's bigger question marks on the back end and in the crease, which is where, you know, the problem lays for the Minnesota Wild.
Since you went there, I like their top four. Just keep in mind that Spurgeon missed almost the entire year last year.
Yeah, so is Spurgeon going to be like healthy and back at where he was 2 years
if
ago?
He can. Then you have a top four of Spurgeon, Brodin, Faber, and Middleton.
Yes.
Faber's encore will be very interesting to watch. His
last
sophomore
year before
season,
his extension kick in, right? He's at $900,000, and then he'll be $8.5 million the year after.
But he easily could have won the Calder last year. Mm-hmm. He played by far the most on their. He was 25 minutes a night. It was crazy for a team that was just, they were relying on him, and there's no one will deny that. They simply relied on him through all the ups and downs. So I don't know. I mean, you round out the group with Bogosian and John Merrill and Declan Chisholm, and you know, maybe they'll get an infusion of youth at one position at both defense and forward, and maybe in goal in the form of Wallstedt. But why did you suggest that you don't think after 2 years in the AHL that Wallstedt will be able to nudge his way in this year?
Well, because he's waiver exempt, so he could be going back down. I think what they're gonna do is a little bit the same plan as the Sabres, kind of, okay, let's have Fleury and Gustafsson. Let's see where it goes. Wallstedt can play games in the AHL, and if it's not going well, we have that call up that we can use and put Wallstedt in there. That's how I got my start in a way, right? Like, I went to Rochester my third season. Dominic Hasek, Dwayne Roloson started the season 0-4-2 or something like that. I got called up. I won a game against Carolina, not because I was great, but because we scored 8 goals that game. I think we won 8-4. But it's a win. And then Dom got hurt. And then Lindy played me over and over and over again. This may be the same situation here in Buffalo. Luukkonen, Reimer with Levi. See what Luukkonen and Reimer can do before we have to bring up Levi. He's waiver exempt. Same thing with Wallstedt. It would be very frustrating to be Jesper Wallstedt saying, hey, I played pro in Sweden, junior and pro in Sweden. I come over, I have 2 good years in the AHL. It's time. And they re-signed Marc-Andre Fleury. I felt like that was a roadblock for their goalie situation when Bill Guerin re-signed Fleury. But, I mean, he's dealing with his own club and trying to make the best decision for his club. I think that gives Wallstedt to start in the AHL and a potential call-up if the need is there.
Wallstedt's played 83 AHL regular season games. He's played 3 in the NHL.
Yeah.
But boy, just the way you said it there, and I'm not saying this is the reason, but one of the hardest things to do, undoubtedly, in pro sports is put your loyalty aside.
Yes.
And Bill Guerin wasn't able to do that this time around with Marc-Andre Fleury. He remained loyal to him from their Pittsburgh days, right? And gives him another deal. But hearing you phrase it that way, like, and it's impossible to know. We see lots of goaltenders in that 60 to 110 game range as a yes. pro, right? And then make that jump. And so there's no exact standard and number, but boy, based on how last year went, you would have thought that maybe the door might have been a little more open for Wahlstedt at this point. And who's
and
to say?
I feel like Marc-Andre Fleury put his buddy, Bill Guerin, in a tough position. He basically said, I'm going to play in Minnesota or I'm going to retire. Mm-hmm. And you're Bill Guerin and you're like, this is the guy that I won a cup with in Pittsburgh. Yeah, Billy Guerin scored a power play goal in OT against me in the one series Philly Pitt. And that was the year they won the cup. You know, and he's like, do I want to put my buddy in retirement or do I give him another year and delay a little bit of where we're going to be? Maybe long-term it works for Minnesota. Why? Because then Wahlstedt doesn't have to, maybe doesn't have 30, 35, 40 NHL games to sign the next contract. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, you don't have a lot to bargain with. Like, and then they get him cheap mm-hmm. for a few more years. Maybe that's the plan. But I like to think that Wahlstedt is ready to play. Marc-Andre Fleury was an .895 save percentage last year. Mm-hmm. If you consider all the goalies in the National Hockey League last year, that even if you just say you played one, you know, 1 minute, right? Mm-hmm. .895 ranked him. Let me find him here. It ranked him 68 in the NHL.
Yeah.
68 doesn't even cover two goalies per team at the start of the season. You got to mm-hmm. go into your reserve. That's where he was last year.
Yeah, it was tough. And again, the penalty kill was just unfathomably bad.
Their power play used to be awful, and now it's a penalty kill that's awful.
Yeah. Well, the one thing they do have that we'll dive into after the break is star power / superstar power in the form of their top scorer. And will he be enough to guide them back to the playoffs? One thing that's always... that you and I both love numbers, like we started the day with your birthday. But you know, the markers along the way, the entry point for you into the NHL was your draft in 1995. Yeah. And right around that time, Bush debuted on the world music scene with the album 16 Stone.
Bush X? Because it was Bush
globally, but yes, get out of Canada and put Bush on the world stage. And it was a slow rise for them based mm-hmm. on the album coming out in 1994. However, by the time 96 rolled around and by the time the Sabres decided that they were going to switch up the jerseys and go to black and red and the goat head, Bush was already five singles deep from 16 Stone, with the fifth and final one being Machine Head. And it's pretty crazy, isn't it, to think that they were so intertwined with that change in the Sabres franchise history. You know, the unveiling at the arena of the black and red. The fact that a couple of days after that in 1996, they played a sold out show at the Old Odd. And then a year later, they were back and playing here at what is now KeyBank Center. And just a couple of years ago, when we brought the black and red back in, our content team driving it with Machine Head by Bush. And it's all kind of cool because Bush is back here this weekend at Art Park on Saturday night. And, you know, I think it's, as we talked about last year, when they zipped through in November at Town Ballroom, and we felt it, right? Like we had a lot of social media engagement that day. Yes. This is a band that has been around obviously now for 30 years, but you're still only looking at basically a half a dozen times they've ever played in Buffalo. And one of them will be this Saturday at Art Park.
Yeah. I'm sad. I'm going to miss that. And it's for a good reason. We're going to visit Jacob, but I definitely would have been on my list of, concert to attend over the summer, and that is a CD that was playing over and over and over and over again in the locker room through my junior years, through my NHL years. I cut the grass at home yesterday. What do I put in my music when I cut the grass? There was some Bush in there. There was some, you know, Offspring. There was a lot of that type of music, some live. Like, those are the late 90s era of, you know, hockey music, arena music. So it is going to be a special concert, definitely at Art Park Saturday night. But yeah, you think about, you know, the way that 16 Stone album starts with everything Zen. And then I love Come Down. And obviously Machine Head is huge. Little Things, like there's so many great songs there.
Yeah, you can go to artpark.net and look for tickets there. It's funny you mentioned some of the other tracks. I know exactly where I was the first time I heard Bush. And it was in the car at about 4 to 4:30 in the morning. I was doing morning sports on the radio in Edmonton. And Come Down came on. And I don't know what the rest of my day must have looked like.
Yeah.
But I was like, holy cow, I love this song. And then it became a fandom for me. I mean, I just, you know, all my friends from that era will can attest to me wanting to, you know, emulate Gavin Rossdale with the hair and everything. Like, I just, you know, anyway, look forward to seeing them at Art Park on Saturday. We have lots more to get to here on Marty's birthday on Sabres Live right after this.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.